The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 17, verses 32 through 34. It is page 219 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. Amen. Among the North Korean defectors who fled to China, there was an old lady. One day, a Korean living in China preached the gospel to her. When the old lady heard the name Jesus, she asked with an incredulous look on her face, "Is that man Jesus still alive?" When she was young, she lived through the August 15th Korean liberation from the Japanese rule, as well as the Korean War, and had personally witnessed the communist soldiers destroying churches and saw Christians being dragged through the streets and executed. So as a child, when she saw the churches being destroyed and Christians executed, she believed that Jesus, whom the Christians believed in, had also died. That is why 60 years later, when she unexpectedly heard someone tell her to believe in Jesus, whom she thought had died a long time ago, she asked, "Is Jesus alive?" Today is the day we remember and celebrate the fact that Jesus is still alive after having died on the cross 2,000 years ago and risen from the dead on the third day. It is Easter Sunday. As we have seen over the past 5 weeks at the Areopagus, from where the Parthenon and other temples of Acropolis were visible above, and various temples around an agora below, Paul's sermon to the Athenian philosophers was as follows. God, the creator of all things in the universe and thus the master of them all, is not confined within a man-made architecture. Unlike the pagan idols that are created by men and need men to fill in their insufficiencies, God is self-sufficient, and moreover, he fills men with life, breath, and everything that they need. He who created all tribes and all the people of the world from Adam is the manager of everything in the universe and the history of men. God is not far, but is always with us. So those who want to feel his presence and get to know him can always find him anywhere and everywhere. Through God who comes to us first and stays with us, we have become the children of God, and therefore we must live a life fit for his children. God made his only Son, Jesus, pay for our sins, which we were supposed to have paid for by death, and raised him from the dead, confirming all throughout the world that he is the God of righteousness. God allowed all the people of the world to gain salvation as his children through Jesus, who died as a sacrifice on the cross and was resurrected. And through this, God proved that his righteousness cannot be separated from His love. Therefore, all men have to return to God and lead a life of repentance in Jesus Christ, who paid for the sins of men by death on the cross and was resurrected. Paul began his sermon by mentioning the altar for the unknown God in Athens and telling the Athenians that he will tell them whom they had been unknowingly worshiping. Starting out with the explanation about the Trinity of God, Paul ended his sermon with the death and resurrection of Jesus, as I mentioned earlier. Only through Jesus, who died as a sacrificial lamb for men, and his resurrection, God's justice, which demanded that all sinners must die, and his love for all of the mankind, which calls for salvation of all sinners, did not contradict one another, but in fact were able to be completely achieved. When Paul's sermon was over, the Athenian philosophers who had taken Paul to the Areopagus to hear more from him responded, as written in verse 32. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." When Paul's sermon was completely finished with the resurrection of Jesus, some philosophers sneered at Paul. In the Greek original text, the verb sneer was written in the imperfective. This means that the philosophers did not sneer at Paul just once, but in fact continued to sneer at him for a long time. The Athenians believed in the immortality of the soul. However, they maintained the dualism that the soul is good while the body is evil. Therefore, they had no reason to think about the resurrection of the evil body. And that was why they were cynical about Paul's sermon, which ended with the resurrection of Jesus. However, not everyone had reacted that way. Some people even told Paul that they want to hear him speak about Jesus' resurrection again at another time. Verse 33. At that, Paul left the council. Afterwards, Paul left Areopagus and went back to his quarters. But that was not the end of his ministry in Athens, the city of idol worship. Let's look at verse 34. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. A few men became followers of Paul and began to believe in Jesus. Become followers was a translation of the Greek verb kolao, which came from kola, meaning glue. Kolao means to glue, to join firmly together, to cleave, and to fasten together. The fact that those men joined Paul and believed him does not mean that they idolatrized Paul himself. It meant that they believed without a doubt in the gospel that Paul preached and believed in Jesus Christ. Among those people, two people were named, Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and Damaris, a woman. The Areopagus in Athens functioned as a court of high council for a long time, and thus it also used to mean court, as I mentioned 5 weeks ago. Therefore, Dionysius, whom the Bible introduces as a member of the Areopagus, is assumed to be one of the 12 judges of the Athenian High Court of Appeal. About the woman named Damaris, the text does not provide any additional information besides that she is a woman. However, when Paul was imprisoned in Philippi, the prison guard and his household received the gospel and were baptized. But the prison guard was unnamed in the Bible. Also, before coming to Athens, Paul visited Thessalonica and Berea, and there were noble women who received the gospel, yet they remained nameless as well. So, seeing as how Damaris, the woman who received the gospel in Athens, is actually named in the text, we can assume that she, like Dionysius, the member of the Areopagus, was a woman who had been well known to the Athenians during that time. In any case, as we have examined so far, Paul's evangelical ministry in Athens only resulted in a small number of converts compared to his ministry in other cities. So most philosophers consider Paul's ministry in Athens a failure. The few converts mentioned earlier are a very small minority who received the gospel through Paul's ministry. And there is no mention of a church built in Athens as a result of Paul's visit. And when Paul revisited the Balkans in his third missionary journey, he did not make a trip to Athens again. All of these combined with the fact that Paul did not write letters to the Christians in Athens are used as evidences of the failure of Paul's ministry in Athens. As for the reason for failure, they say that Paul attempted to explain the gospel in a philosophical way to show off his philosophical knowledge in front of all the Athenian philosophers, and that is why he failed. So they say that since he failed in evangelizing, Paul left for his next destination in a miserable state. While I was in the seminary, I read books by scholars who concluded that Paul's ministry in Athens was a failure. And therefore, I also thought that Paul had failed in Athens. However, sometime later, as I worked in ministry, I realized that it is unbiblical to think that Paul's ministry in Athens had failed. Paul's ministry in Athens only made a tiny number of converts, and that is why his ministry is considered a failure. That is a very unbiblical thought that judges the success or failure of ministry and the spreading of the gospel through a quantitative and numerical value. Paul only stayed for a few days in Athens. But Jesus' life in public was 3 years long. During those 3 years, Jesus only had 12 followers, and among them, Judas Iscariot was a traitor. Does that mean that Jesus, who only gained 11 followers during his 3-year-long ministry, is a failed savior? Church is not a building or a system, but a meeting of those who believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Bible clearly notes that through Paul's ministry, people like Dionysius and Damaris, although very small in number, converted to Christianity. When they get together, what are they if not church? Paul was unable to revisit Salamis, Paphos, and Perga, cities he had visited during his first missionary journey. Also, Paul never sent letters to the Christians in cities such as Pisidian Antioch and Lystra, where he visited to spread the gospel. It was because either he did not have a chance or the need to do so. But that does not mean that he had failed in his ministry in those cities. Therefore, the fact that Paul did not revisit Athens, or that he did not write a letter to the Christians in Athens, cannot be reasons to claim that Paul's ministry in Athens was a failure. Scientists attempt to analyze the Bible scientifically, and literary scholars interpret the Bible in a literary way. And therefore, it is the best way to spread the gospel. And in that sense, Paul, who philosophically explained the gospel to the Athenian philosophers who were only interested in looking at life in a philosophical way, was a very wise missionary. If Paul had not done so, there might not have been a single Christian convert from their world. Therefore, the fact that Paul failed in his Athenian ministry and headed to the next destination feeling miserable is an opinion of a person who only thinks about spreading the gospel in theory. It cannot be the thought of a person who actually practices the love of God in his life. About half a month ago, a member of our church in her 20s sent me an email. With her permission, let me read the letter to you. The mentor of my life, Pastor Jung Han Jo. I met Pastor Jung Han Jo for the first time last year on September 9th. Since August, I had been suffering from severe depression, and thinking that this is my last resort, I sent Pastor Lee Jae-chul an email. At the time, I could not express myself in writing or verbally, so I briefly introduced myself and wrote that every day I am tormented by suicidal thoughts. After reading my email, Pastor Lee introduced me to Pastor Jung. When I met Pastor Jung for the first time, I was unable to really talk to him. The first thing I said was, "I asked to see you, but since I'm not seeing much, you must be frustrated. That is how my relationship with Pastor Zheng began. The first day I met Pastor Zheng, I still cannot forget the words he wrote me in an email. He said, "When I met you today, I thought that God is going to use you in a very beautiful way. I am truly grateful that God has chosen me to help you when you, who will be used beautifully, are facing a crisis and need help from someone." It means that God believes in me. However, my depression worsened by day, and I took a leave of absence from school on September 20th. And a week later, I attempted to commit suicide for the first time. Starting that week, my dad, who had not been to church for over 5 years, began to attend church. That's how God called my dad back. Thinking back on it, I believe that God knew I would overcome the suffering, and through me, He brought my dad to salvation. My dad went to church every week, and when I lay in bed, he came by my bedside and prayed to God to save me. And my dad's prayers began that way. Pastor Zheng is in charge of the overall church keeping, and thus he's very busy. Yet, despite his busy schedule, he always answered my phone calls. He told me that he was glad he met me. I was even more thankful for those words. Pastor Zheng told me that God really loves me, that because God loves me, God led him to me, that when he goes to heaven, he will boast of the fact that he saved me. Then he promised me to officiate my wedding and said that he would love to have me at his funeral. At the time, I had been living in Gwangju in Gyeonggi province, and it took me 2 hours by bus to come to church. Nevertheless, I came to church frequently to see Pastor Zheng. I came to church 3 or 4 times a week and stayed home on Mondays since it was the day off for the pastors at our church. But if I needed him, Pastor Zheng even met with me on Mondays. Thinking about it now, through September, October, and November, without the help of Pastor Zheng during that awful time, I would not have been able to fight off my depression. As I received chemical treatments, I continued to meet up with Pastor Zheng to talk. Pastor Zheng poured out so much love for me. He gladly became my spiritual father. I am truly blessed, since I have got the Father, my biological father, and my spiritual father, 3 fathers in all. On March 4th, 2013, my treatment sessions for depression ended. The director of the Neuropsychiatry Center told me that I no longer have to be on medication. There was one thing that jolted my recovery from depression. It was a worship song titled, "My Peace I Give Unto You." I realized one important thing. For the 23 years of my short life, I ceaselessly turned away from the Lord, but the Lord never turned away from me, not even once. And also, that Lord of love came to this earth to give peace unto an ingrate like me, and to save me. After I realized that, I quickly began to recover from depression. My thought that Pastor Lee might be able to help me. And Pastor Lee's decision to introduce Pastor Zheng to me. Through this process, I believe that the Lord was with me and cured me. So I thank him with all my heart. And Pastor Zheng, I thank you and I love you. A young woman in her 20s who suffered from a severe depression, even attempting to commit suicide, was healed in the grace of the Lord. Jesus, who broke the power of death and was resurrected 2,000 years ago from the other side of the world, is still alive. Through her letter, we can feel her eagerness in truly thanking the Lord for rescuing her out of death-like depression, and thanking Pastor Zheng Hanzhou for being God's vessel for her at any point in time and place. At the same time as I read her letter, I focused on the image of Pastor Zheng, which was portrayed in her letter. There is no minister who is not busy, but among all the pastors at our church, Pastor Zheng is probably the busiest as a senior pastor. Yet, he thanked the Lord for choosing him to help a troubled youth. The reason that Pastor Zheng thanked the Lord was because he accepted the fact that she was entrusted to him as a proof of the Lord's trust in him. His confession is not the kind that can come from someone who only knows of the Lord's love in theory. It's the kind that only someone who has given his life to live as the Lord's vessel can give. I will talk about this in detail next time, but only someone like that can witness and experience the resurrected Lord and the life of the Lord in their own lives. There is no doubt that Paul was such a person. We know in detail how Paul, who saw the vision of a Macedonian man, went from Troas in Asia to Philippi in Europe, then through Thessalonica and Macedonia, had arrived at Athens in the province of Achaia. It was not Paul's personal plan. It was the result of the Lord's accurate pinpoint plan to make sure to lead Paul to Athens. What do you think is the reason for this? It was because God decided to use Paul as a tool to save a few people, including Dionysius and Damaris. In verse 34, a few men became followers of Paul and believed. In that verse, became followers was translated from the Greek verb kolao, which is written in passive in the original text. This is to show that they were not the ones who approached Paul voluntarily, but that it was God who sent Paul to them. Then, do you think Paul left Athens in despair, thinking that he has failed because only a small number of people received the gospel despite all his efforts? No, he would not have done so. Paul must have thanked the Lord with all his heart for trusting him who used to deny the Lord, and also for having led him to save a few number of people. Paul must have experienced the love and life of the resurrected Lord with all of his mind and body than at any other point in time. And we'll be looking at this next time, but relying on the Lord, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, the city of decadence, by himself before his co-workers, Silas and Timothy, joined him. Poet Kim So-wol's poem, Invocation, begins with these words. Oh, name shattered to bits. Oh, name vanished into the void. Oh, name without response. Oh, name I'll be calling till death. Invocation here refers to calling to the soul of the dead. Would a soul of the dead answer when a living person calls to him? Only the voice of the person calling to the soul would shatter into bits and vanish into the void. So that is why it is only a name one would call till he himself dies. Yet the name of Jesus, who died on the cross to wash away our sins 2,000 years ago, is not a name we'll be calling until death, but a name that gives us life. Jesus, who has crushed the power of death and risen from the dead at the time, is still alive and will live forever. Do you want to experience the life and love of our resurrected Lord personally and make them your own? Then instead of trying to be comforted by someone, comfort someone who is in a worse situation than you are by becoming God's vessel. Oh, instead of trying to receive help from someone, become the hand of God and reach out to help those who are in more difficult situations. Believe that the Lord put his trust in us and chose to save them and give all of ourselves to them. For them, we have to call out to the Lord. Then we would experience the life and love of the resurrected Lord flowing into those people, and from then on, the meaning and the value of my life, of our lives, will be redefined. Let us pray. Dear Lord, 2,000 years ago, you have died on the cross to pay for our sins. But crushing the power of death, you were resurrected, We are grateful that you are still and will forever be alive. And Lord, we praise you, for when we call your name becomes the name of eternal life and love that allows us to live. If we try to become the destination of your life and love, your life and love might pass by me. But please don't let us forget that if we live as the vessel of your life and love, then we can personally see and experience your precious life and love every day in our lives. Instead of trying to receive help from someone who is better off than us, please let us become your vessels who can help someone worse off than us. Instead of trying to be comforted by someone, help us to become the hand of God who can hold others' hands and comfort them. Let us be grateful that you have put your trust in nobodies like us to help others, and let us call out to you for them. In your life and love, which flows through me to those in need, renew the meaning and the value of my life. Please let every day that I face in the future to become the day of resurrection, when I can walk with you, Lord, who rose from the dead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.